Greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Greetings. Think of how many times we greet one another. We greet one another personally, and we greet each other corporately. Greet all the saints. My mind went to that a few days ago. I was thinking of God's people, our saints, our pilgrims. Greet all of the saints at Allen County Christian Fellowship. It's personal too. But you know, in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 4, the Apostle Paul, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. He said, "By the will of God and Timothy our brother unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints." And then he says in verse 2, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so I extend that greeting from our lives, and also, as the Scripture says, as to the church, to each other, the greetings in Jesus' name, the fellowship of the saints. Maybe we could all rise together for a word of prayer. Yes, Heavenly Father, as I bow before you this morning, we thank you for the beautiful morning. We thank you for allowing us to all gather with our sound minds, with our health this morning, with our families, our wives and children, grandmas and grandpas. Thank you for each one, Lord, that's gathered this morning. We pray, Lord, as the bread of life was broke to us this day already, that you would help us to continue that, Father, today, that we could grow by the living word. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for comforting us and helping us unto this day. Help us to not be faint in any way. Help us to trust you in all of our lives. We pray for anyone today that may be on the outside, trying to make a decision, trying to understand where to go. Pray for all of us together as we walk forward. We have life's decisions. We have life before us, our children. Some of us, some brothers have grandchildren. We pray for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray for the church of the living God this morning. Pray for those that may be listening in. You'd bless each of those precious souls. Father, we need you this day. We sense our need of you. We just commit this time to you with thanksgiving in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, as the brothers were sharing the comments on some of the things that Brother Melvin and Rufus and them shared, thank you, brothers, for that. You know, the beauty of looking in a mirror, it is a direct truth. If we're honest, if we can honestly look at a mirror, it tells exactly what you see. Sometimes a mirror can be cracked, and you can see an oblong face, according to how the... But if you look in a clear mirror, it's clear. And so I was blessed with that, brother, and also the story that Rufus had with the children. We have very nice. May not always be that way in this life. So young children, serve the Lord, serve Jesus, know Him early. But today, the thoughts in my own life, obviously I was with you all last week under the Word of God. There's a lot of things that go through our mind, especially when we spend a number of days under that. Things that are God's working in my own life and all of our lives together. But I was meditating on coming here this morning and gathering with us as the family of God, the brothers here. My heart was intently turned to following Jesus. I thought, so if you want a title of a message this morning, I have a title. It's simple. It's Following Jesus. And if it's simple, then I'd like to keep it that way. Seems like it's... I enjoy studying. I enjoy reading. I enjoy books. It seems like I enjoy history. I love to study church, the history, and 100 years ago, I enjoy those things. But what men did in those days, they followed Jesus. They followed Jesus, and it was the only sustainable life that works. And so today I'd like to paint a picture of following Jesus. I'd like for us to know that it's 100% possible we can follow Jesus. I would like to look at who He is according to the Word of God. And then I would like to look at His call and promise to us. His call and His promise to us as His people to follow Him. So if you want to, we can turn our Bibles to John chapter 10. I'd like to have a little interaction, so be prepared. Go through some of these truths today. I'm sorry, John chapter 10, if I said 6. John chapter 10. I'm going to read some of these scriptures. I have quite a few scriptures today. I don't think I have a long message, but I have a lot of scriptures and to try to study the life of Jesus and who He is by the scriptures. Weren't we not encouraged this week to study the scriptures? Because there is the power of God. And so then we're encouraged to not speak before we study the scriptures. Because otherwise when we speak, we have to do what? We have to try to validate what we said. And maybe it isn't right. And so sometimes we do that, but I was just encouraged with those principles in my life as a brother. So in John chapter 10, it says in verse 1, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth." And what I want a little interaction here, as we read these verses, there's going to be three definitions of Jesus here in these number of verses. So, and see if we can pick that up together. I recognize I had a little advantage because I tried to do that. I might not, there could be some more. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find green pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So I picked up, there's different things in there. I picked up three things. I'll share something. The third thing is maybe a little bit more of a character. And to help, as I looked at that, the third character, this third character of Jesus here, before I do that, somebody want to come share what they see in there. What's the, Who is Jesus in these verses? He's a good shepherd. Thank you, Martin. But he's a door. And then what's the third one? He's a voice, but that's not one. There's a character here. It's good. He's a voice, but there's a character here. Let me give you some clue. These are just thoughts. There's a character here that caused a division. It was like there's 1, 2, 3. There's something about anybody could be a doorkeeper. He's a porter. I don't want to make anyone think we're wrong. Anyway, Jesus Christ laid his life down. He was one that surrendered. He was a good shepherd, but he was one that laid down. And that was something that the Jews here, and not just the Jews, but even in the century we live in, it says that there was a division among the Jews for these sayings. This was Jesus. See, when I think of a man keeping a door of a sheepfold, watching the door, a lot of us, we could do that. Or try to. And we could be a shepherd. Maybe not good. We try to be a shepherd. I've been a shepherd a little bit in the last couple of weeks from a distance. Brother Marlin's sheep. The little lambs get born and I try to go down there and try to help them. But when you're from a distance, they might get sick and you don't notice it and then they can die. But anyway, interesting enough, we can do that. But when you go down there and you lay down with the sheep, and you lay down there and you spend time and you lay your life down. That's Jesus. That's the character. So maybe a little bit line more of a character. So I wasn't trying to be tricky. This shepherd, the sheep of this shepherd do not hear another shepherd. As Brother Melvin was sharing, they don't hear another shepherd. They are becoming familiar with the voice of the good shepherd. So this morning I was thinking about this. It is very important this morning to establish an entrance. And I was thinking that I was encouraged in the last number of weeks. We've heard a lot about being born again and then down at a seminar, a few messages. An entrance into this sheepfold, into the kingdom. But this entrance is by the door. And then Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. And the verse there says, I am the door. And I think of, any man that entereth in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And I just as a young boy, I remember hearing a man in where I was at share these verses, and I would wonder, well, what's green? I knew green pasture was good, but I wasn't partaking of any good green pasture. The things I was eating from was darkness. Took our lives downhill. Another one in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Somebody know who Jesus is there without reading it. He says in Revelation 1, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one which is and was and which is to come. And so the Alpha and the Omega, I know these are probably very elemental. Much of this we know and we believe from our hearts. But it is important to establish this, to understand Jesus as a good shepherd. So when the Alpha and the Omega, you know, it's the alphabet. You know, when you ever hear someone say, it's covered from A to Z. You know, it didn't come in and start at D. You know, it didn't start at the letter D. It's covered from A to Z. And Isaiah 44 on his Isaiah 44, verse 6 to 8, it says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I shall call and shall declare and shall set in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from the time, and have desired it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. This is the prophet Isaiah with that picture of Jesus and who he is. He's I am. He has not been. He's I am. And we learned some of that from Bible teaching. And to us as believers, that as Christian followers of Jesus, that puts a great confidence in our lives, that we serve one that covers from A to Z, from the beginning. The way that there's no beginning and there's no end. I am. If you look at there's some other thoughts there of who Jesus is. Does anybody have any other thought? Any other? Someone were mentioning them. Is there any others that come to your thought? Your thoughts. Who is Jesus? Who is the I Am in Scripture? When it comes to your mind, does somebody want to share? Feel free. Other identities that the Word of God calls him. Yes, Wonderful Counselor, Bread of Life. I have that wrote down. Go ahead. Life. Yep. Light. Yep. That's light. Living Water. James. Yes. Yeah. The Vine. I Am the Vine. Anyone? The Great Physician. Breath of Life. Yep. It's like, when I got into this, I was like, the Scriptures just, like, in the Scriptures become alive. He's the Messiah. He is, the Bible says, He is from above. He's the Eternal One. He's the Light of the World. And we read all the others. Thank you. I appreciate that. Many. He is Lord and Master. It's two but one. He's Lord and Master. He's the way and the truth and the life. Remember learning the Bible verses as a little boy. The way and the truth and the life. He's the true vine. First and the last. There could be many... I was thinking on the one that we want to look at a little bit is if you go to turn your Bibles to John chapter 6. Starting in verse 32, Jesus here, there was a discourse on the bread of life. And a little bit of a backdrop, when Jesus starts to teach on the bread of life, the children of Israel were always, they were used to eating things to make them full. You know, to eat things that make you full is fulfilling. And so I was thinking about how Jesus was on the scene here, and he was trying to help them, along with us, to understand what fills us. And so verse 32, it says, Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Which is who again? Jesus. He's cometh down from above. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. I think they were thinking what again here? I think they were thinking manna. Maybe not. We want this. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. See, there's a little bit of the call and the promise with these scriptures. For he says again, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I shall lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. And then again, the Jews murmured. You ever face that in life? I've done that in my life. People come try to share this with me, the bread of life. There was a murmuring. There was no understanding. They murmured because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. He said, isn't this just Joseph's son? You know, isn't that really a work of humanity throughout every generation? When something happens in the life of a man, yeah, that he's just the old man. That's not how God calls us to live. We are to know no man after the flesh. Think of Jesus being the bread. Brother shared earlier, the bread of life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, one of the Beatitudes that says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed. Blessed are they. Blessed are you. After righteousness. So there's a, you know, it's not something that you just always mentally assent to, but it's, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after right living. You just love to live for Jesus, and there's no threat in that. Righteousness. So righteousness is a beautiful word, a beautiful thought, and a truth that is from the Alpha and from the Omega. It's hand in a glove. The other thought is giving there when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, the bread of God. Some of the thought there, I was looking into the bread. So you're battling through this situation. We're trying to help our lives understand, is it just physical bread? And there's interpretations like that in life where there's something some of this bread turns into some life. But this bread is Jesus Christ and following after him. So one of the things that I come on looking at a little bit of a study, when he says, I am the bread of life, the one other thought I found was, I am the support of life. Someone else interpret that. When I thought of that, I thought, he is our life support. As I saw, I looked at this in my study yesterday, and the Lord worked in my heart. Do you know that every one of us this morning are on life support? We're in life support. The bread of life. And so we only take this life support off by our choice. We have life support, this bread of life, the word of God, following after Jesus. Doing what he says without bucking against it. It's life. And whenever we start to chafe, we slowly just take off life support. And we talked about this at home. We thought, well, we maybe share this. We share this together. Jesus Christ is a primarily portion of our life. The Bible also says that he who hears these scriptures and does them lives. He's like a man that built his house upon the rock. And as I thought of this, I thought a little over a year ago, my wife and I sat in a room and we watched a dear man on life support. And they told us that everything is dependent on this air and this life that's going into him. And if we take it off, it's over. And we talked about that last evening, this morning, and thought we'd share that. It was an impact in our lives, the family's life. I think I learned more. I hope I did, about life. Life is very short. As we sat there, and they slowly turned things off. And before long, it was a straight line, and it was over. No more life, no more life support. And so we would bless God. We bless God for those times. We thank him for revealing things in our lives, helping us, helping our family. That was earthly. We lost a dear man, a grandpa, a daddy. But that was earthly. It wasn't easy. But it's a point we thought we'd share from those experiences. We all have those. Jesus also said, He is the resurrection and the life. And there's great hope in life, eternal life, and the resurrection and life. There's something about knowing that Jesus Christ had resurrection, not just knowing that, but the very power that raised Him up from the dead, that very power is invested in our lives as God's people, as saints. Resurrection and life, when we are fully committed, fully persuaded, it means in the 1828 that we are totally given a credit upon another authority. Totally. And so, I was thought of those things in our life. Never at any time do we come to a place where we live by ourselves. We're drawing from life support. And I was just blessed by those thoughts. There's many other. The bread of life. He's the water of life. I think we'll let off on that and get into the second thought of His call and His promise. You turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 13. First John chapter 5, it says, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, and the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Then in verse 13 is the last verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. A lot of scripture reading there. Some of the areas I don't have intended to focus on, but I'd like to look at three areas in the first four verses of the calling of God in our life. The call to follow Jesus, to follow Him. Like I look at three. The first one, you know, that we see the word faith, and our faith is a victory. You know, a faith is a moral conviction of a truth. You're convicted of. There's nothing else. Nothing. You know, so it isn't my faith and your faith, and everyone has a right to a certain faith. It's a moral conviction of the faith of the Bible. And that's very freeing, isn't it? It's freeing that this is the faith that endured from Alpha and Omega, from the beginning and the end. To me, that's encouraging. Let's press for that faith. So that's the thought of faith, the persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. It says there's a full persuasion, and then we fully trust this. We trust this Lord, Jesus Christ. So there's three callings there. The one is that we're called to love God. You see in verse 2, says, when we love God and keep His commandments. He tells us what is the love of God. So there's a call there to love God. Does everyone love God? I want us to think about that. Many, many people love God. And we do too. We love God. It's good to confess that I love God this morning. I love Him. And I'm very thankful for all of you brothers and sisters and ourselves. We've experienced much of men and women loving God. Let's love Him more. But this is how we love Him more. This is the love. This is the love's proof, you would say. And one of the things I would say here is, if you see these three, now this is something I did probably a little bit on some thought here. I wouldn't make a big deal about it, but I was just thinking on, there's a call here to love God, one, keep His commandments, two, and overcome the world, three. And then I thought, there's a witness. Again, on the interpretation of the Bible, there's a witness. I love God. We keep commandments and we overcome the world. And I thought, there's a witness, because he keeps going and he goes, the Spirit bears witness because the Spirit is truth. And then he says that there are three that bear record in heaven. Think about that. And I was inspired by that. I don't know if it makes any correlation, but it was a blessing as I worked through there. And then there are three that are on earth and they agree as one. Those areas were. So we want to look at a little bit of those three callings with a promise. The Bible in the Amplified, it says, for everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. Our continued persistent faith, it overcomes the world. And nothing else will. It overcomes the world in my life. And I see that the world presses in all the time. It just presses in, doesn't it? Unless I'm not living in reality, it presses in. But this overcomes the world. Not just anything. It says I was thinking in some of the interpretation or the study, was a continually persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus. Now we think of, sometimes there's a shadow of Jesus, and I think we have a shadow. I like pictures of shadows, but I think it's also, you know, it's us in Jesus. It's following Him. It's not He's far away and He's way out there. Jesus is here in the flesh. He come here in the flesh. He has showed us His life. In other words, He says in some of the other verses, it is the one who believes and recognizes, in the Amplified version, it is the one people or individual, it could be a group or it could just be one individual, it is the one who believes and recognizes. And then the other word found in some Strong's in the 1828, it is the one who recognizes, or you could say agrees. You know, when you agree with someone, there's no doubt. So do we agree with the one that is Alpha and Omega? Sounds really simple in a technical way. But when we agree with someone, when I agree with my brother, then I agree with him. It doesn't mean we see, but we agree with what we're thinking. It's a recognition. The fact first is that Jesus is the Son of God, and I don't have no doubt about that, but just to lay in foundation, even for children. It's important for us as little children that you believe that you agree with that Jesus Christ, there'll never be another. Call to be the children of God. Call to love God is that first one. And then the second one is to keep His commandments. We keep His commandments, and it's a call to overcome the world. It is essential to first love God. Come to God with this persuasion. Be children of God. But it is validated, or it is put together by the witness. It is. It's like, it puts a great love for this in my heart and your heart. May it do that. It's validated by that, by them too, in this particular passage, would be like the Apostle Paul says, the world is crucified unto me, and I am unto the world. So it's two things there, but it's one. It can sound strong to say that Jesus died on the cross and he crucified the world unto me, and he did. But when that very world is crucified from me unto the world, that's a witness. Again, you got a witness. Blessing. It's a great blessing. Then we can follow him perfectly. That's not what we're talking about. We can follow him. And when he asks something from us, sometimes we make mistakes, but we try again. Sometimes men can tend to give up and not try again because maybe they made some mistakes. But we have to try again. We have to go again. Being born of God. One of the things that John says here was always, was an interesting thing. He says in his commandments there, verse 3, going into the thought of his commandments, they are not grievous. I just want us to think about that. They're not always easy, but they're not grievous. And so, following Jesus is not grievous. Not easy. No, I wouldn't be fair to say that, but it's not grievous. So when something is becoming overly grievous, we have to maybe have to see if there's some love for the world mixed in. You know, like love for this world, this present age. Just some thoughts. Follow him. Overcoming the world is that third call. Overcoming the world. If you back up to John, 1 John, there are two very familiar scriptures. I remember as a young boy, I listened to these scriptures and I felt like I don't know where I'm at. 1 John there, if you back up to 2:15. 16 and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And these things were, as I looked at this, this is overcoming the world. This is the point of the call and the promise to overcome the world. Can we see the call in these verses? But always it's inspiring to see the call with the promise. The call with the promise. So in 17, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of my Father, of the will of God, abideth for how long? Forever. From Alpha and Omega. We can abide forever. So we're really not going to be here that long. But we want to abide forever, don't we? Yes, we want to abide forever. When my wife and I sat there and we watched a man, precious man, and we kept thinking of forever and ever and ever. What would we give in exchange this morning to exchange it? To be with him forever and resist the bread of life and resist those things. You know, love not the world. I think I've heard an older brother share, I remember a number of years ago, that sometimes we feel like we just have to bury ourselves in the mud and we can't look at anything in the world. But this love not the world isn't talking about a seaside where the waters are rippling on the shore and the beautiful sand and we see the flowers and we see the beauty of creation. This is not what it's saying to hate. It's not what it's saying. It makes a difference because sometimes the interpretation of what we think, love not the world, it simply means love not this present age. I think of the evidence of that. We are here and we're very thankful and we get to enjoy what God hath given us. We see plants, we see beautiful things. Scripture teaches us to love not this age. One other thought is loving a system. You know, there's a system that presses in. So the things, you know, it's interesting because There's lots of discussion on that, as Brother Melvin shared. I like to be easily entreated about these discussions. So there's always a thought, love not the world, and we don't identify nothing. But we have to, by the word of God, because it says, neither the things in the world, in this system. And so that's been a blessing to be able by the Holy Spirit, not just on ourselves or individuals, but together with God's people, we can identify the worldly things within this system. And that's the call of the church. That's the call of God's people. Being free from that. It's not bondage and it's not rules. It's not that. It's not what it is. It's kind of that grievous thing. You know, it's and it can be. There can be a lot of misinterpretations. It's a system. I think of using my voice a little bit. I also thought of these three and 3 points in John 1 John 2 there, 15. There's three and there's a witness there again. Just for what it's worth, maybe we can talk about that some other time. But there's the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and pride. There's a witness, and usually you about can't have one without the other two. Like especially on the driver's seat with the passions inside. You know, it's really hard to be seeking the honor of men and the honor of God. It's not really possible. But you bless God and you honor men, according to Scripture. And so I was thinking on worldly pleasures. Some of the things that we do in life is, I don't have a lot of practical thoughts this morning because my heart was to share to follow Jesus. I was just thinking about following Jesus. It helps us together to do away with systems pleasures, worldly pleasures, worldly affairs, and worldly honor would be pride, worldly actions. It says the ungodly part of the universe, the church is called to overcome it. To overcome it. And by this faith. A good gauge on being worldly minded, a good gauge is there will be a predominating, you know the word predominating or dominating, you see, like just overshadowing, overpowering, a predominating love and pursuit of this world's goods to the exclusion of piety and spiritual concerns. Those make their way through life. One has to suffer all the time. We cannot serve two. This makes us think of things. I shared I don't have a desire to go into a whole bunch of a practical list. We can just be thinking. It does make me think of a few things. It makes me think sometimes of when you look at the we call that worldly affairs, and the word fairs. And as I had done some of, I know many of you have, if you studied the history of God's people, not just Anabaptist people, but Moravians and many of the groups of people, they shun the fairs of this world. You know, not the affairs, but the fairs. And I just want us to think about, because what is in the fairs of this world is honor and what is it? How much of that does the Christian need? We need encouragement, but honor and prestige, and because everything that's done in these fairs have been done hundreds of years ago the same way, and they might very likely not be very good at it at all. You know, but this is the pursuit, the kingdom of God, the affairs of this world. Just some thoughts. I did think of the Christians that are martyred. The Christians of old have always shunned these fairs. If you read history on these things, loved this not. It could be many other things. I had to think of some of the when I read the word worldly pleasures and the worldly affairs. Along with that, you think sometimes of I think of this in my life as an occupation. I have occupation to support my home. But you know, occupations are a means to an end. Many have done it before we have, and probably better. But it's a means to an end. It's built by servanthood. It's built by character. In a worldly pursuit, it's built by many things. But to serve brothers, to serve the community, it's built by character and servanthood. Just a thought. There could be other words. And so, but these things are not worldly to work, to have occupation. They're not worldly. But the worldly pursuit, then one has to suffer. Like, we'll have to divide those things. And we are never able to divide our occupations from the kingdom of God. It's a witness again. It's always a witness. And just some thoughts. Number two thoughts. And I don't think I have anything more on that. There could be a lot of other thoughts given. Yeah, the thought on the occupation being a means to an end. One thing that I have desired to do and continue, and I have not always done like I should have, but to watch and keep a gauge over the thought that the great call and the beauty and the glory of us as daddies supporting our homes and our children and other families being supported through us maybe is beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when it changes into an unchecked love for money, an unchecked love for money, things change. I just want us to think about that. I've seen those things in my life. I know it's practical, and I would never say how big or how much distance, but I just want us to think about some of this loving not the worldly affairs. It's a great blessing to be able to have support for our homes, and we need to thank God for that. Guiding principles in this lifelong journey. Look at some of these guiding principles. Look at a guiding principle of giving. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand did. That's a guiding principle. If that desire is in us to do the difference, let's call that for what it is. It helps us. It does me. Turn your Bibles to Matthew. Keeping of the commandments is next. This was overcoming the world. If you go to Matthew chapter 5, very familiar scriptures, we look at the overarching picture of the new government. Matthew chapter 5. We'll name some of those just to example. We're talking about following Jesus here. And when we're done reading some of these, I want to bring it to a close. And then maybe in closing, I'd like to have the song. We can sing it together. Follow the path of Jesus, 585, I think. So if you've got your Bibles there, Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. I just want to go through that. I don't think I'll read them. I will just kind of read too many scriptures there. If you look at starting in verse 21, on chapter 5, it's kind of a break in there as the outline of this new government, this new kingdom. So you have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And it's that, and we know better than that as Christians. But you know, if you walk around toward individuals with that set jaw, you know, that brother was preaching last week, something wrong. You know, there's something wrong. We can help. We can have help for that. There's healing for that in the gospel, in the message that we look at from day to day. So you have heard it said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And then he just gives the answer, the call and the answer. Bring your gift to the altar. Get it done. Take care of it. It's how simple it is in this kingdom. Brother Melvin shared, we deny and we can live our entire life living this denial. But the burden of God is one day it'll be too late. One day it'll be too late. The other one would be purity. Of course, we have heard that it was said of them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. We agree. And then Jesus says, whosoever looks and lusts committed adultery. And then he gives the antidote, the help. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. You know, and here, you know, I've heard of individuals that thought, well, they would just literally take and cut their hands off. You know, but the literal thought of Jesus is, do we care enough? Are we enough convinced, morally convicted and convinced that we have to do something, dear Lord? We want to be free. And then he, like Brother John D. said, if a man takes one step toward him, heaven comes toward him. You know, it's the grace of God. It's beautiful. It's the grace of God. The other one would be sacredness in marriage. The new humanity in marriage. We don't just live together. We love one another. And we become one. We become one. And it's beautiful. So if we find ourselves just barely making it and just living together, let's become one. Let's these oaths and profanity. You know, our yes should be yes, and our no should be no. And we should be known. The Christians should be known by that. Our yes should be yes. You know, non-resistance. And sometimes I think of the thought of non-resistance. It can be moved in categories of shooting people to words of resentment in that category. But I had to think many times as I look at that, the teachings of Jesus. You have heard that has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. And it keeps going. I want to think about this package of, what we called it earlier, we called it a witness. You know, we want Christian faith. We want peace in our hearts with a little bit of resistance. And it's not possible. You know, it's resistance is kind of core, has been for all of the generations of Christians. We have to lay down resistance. And then it brings in love and love for your enemies and then love for your brother. I'm not able to cover that. There's a lot of other qualities in this kingdom. You know, a good indication that we've laid resistance down, the men that we hated, we can love. We can love them. And that has happened. I bless God for that. There could be more to share. I want to read a little poem. Not a poem, but a little... saying in closing, and then I'd like for the brother to sing that song, possibly. Follow the path of Jesus. This is not actually what this is about. It's a little writing we have on a refrigerator. It says, Lord, help me to walk so close to thee, to those who know me best. Can see I live as godly as I pray, and Christ is real from day to day. I see some once a day and a year, others in a year. To those I blameless may appear. 'Tis easy to be kind and sweet to whom people we seldom meet. But in my home were those who see too many times the worst of me. My hymns of praise were best unsung if he who does not control my tongue. When I am vexed and sorely tried and my impatience cannot hide, may no one stumble over me. Because thy love they fail to see. But give me, Lord, through calm and strife, a gracious and unselfish life. And help me with those who know me best, for Jesus' sake to stand the test. My wife put this on the refrigerator a number of months ago, and it's been a blessing as I walk by there and I read that. May God help us to follow Jesus all the days of our life. It'll be worth it. It's worth it in this life, and it will be worth it in the life to come, for sure. God bless each of you.